Glory to God. I'll tell you what. His love never fails. It never changes, does it? You know, as we are making definition, understand that it's not under any kind of condemnation that we speak, but that the provision of the Lord is always there for you, but that correction is always necessary in order to change your situations or change in the way that you are to what you are to become. How many know that? And that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. And we know that the truth of the matter is we're still walking in two ways. We're still double-minded in the places in which we have not yet been sanctified. Or could you say that isn't possible? Well, it is. And that's what brings the question. And that's what Satan uses for condemnation. But when we realize that it's already a finished work, that the track field in which we run has been set already before us, and the finish line has already been set, now it's up to you to get on the track and keep running until you cross the finish line. If you don't keep running, if you get off the track, he's not condemning you, but that's as far as you move until you get back on track. And as soon as you get back on track, you don't start at the finish line or the beginning of the line. You start where you got off. And then just keep running. Because there's no condemnation. Because he's hurrahing you all the way. Ha, rah, rah, rah. I know you can do it. You don't think you can. You're out of wind. You're in pain. You don't think you can do it. But hurrah, hurrah. I know you can do it. Hallelujah. Go beyond the pain. Go beyond the press. Hallelujah. Go a little bit further. You'll see. You'll come to the finish line. And somewhere's in the middle. If you're a runner, they got what they call a runner's second wind. And in order to get to the second wind, you got to feel like you got no wind. You've exhausted all of your exterior powers now. And this works. If you're a runner, you're going to know that when you get to the runner's wind, you can run 26 miles. How do you do that? Your body clicks into a supernatural ability that is required, that at a normal pace is never required. Ever. And so when you get out of the abnormal and run a race to finish the race, you'll have to lay down everything that you have when it's to the point where you don't think you can run anymore and your sides are ready to, you think you're going to die. And then, like how God does it, his enabling grace His enabling power takes over. And now it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Isn't that cool? Hallelujah. Oh, we don't have our little picture up there, honey. Okay. I started this and it just keeps propelling. We're going to be here for a while. Hallelujah. And some of the things that you may understand, you may hear some things that are a little different, maybe that you've never considered before as a part of the knowledge of God and the and the developing of God to a position of a son. We have, in general, understood that the bride is the church, and that the ecclesia, that the Christ is the anointed, the church, and that we are the temple or the tabernacles of God as a whole, and the temple of God as singular. You know, every one of you are the temple of God. And so it's just, how much are we letting Him in to possess our housing, our being, our intelligence, our understanding, our abilities? And how much are we involving Him in our personal daily life? Where are we going with that? And so, if we'll just look at Matthew 13 again, I want you to keep this in mind. Because there's a couple of unique things that kind of happen when we read it that kind of are pointed out that usually are just read over. Hallelujah. And as we're going to it, hallelujah, I've been just contemplating on where God wants us to go in this this series of messages that are being developed here through one verse in Matthew 13. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you'll just give us a minute, we'll have it up. Glory to God. And you can go to it, Matthew 13:43, if you want to. Hallelujah. In your Bibles. Hallelujah. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Go up to 42. Hallelujah. Go up to 41. Nobody likes to hear that, but go up one more. I didn't want to do this, but we'll go up one more. 13:40. Just go back, honey. I don't want to deal with the tares and the wheat right now. Hallelujah. Give me 44. I'm sorry, but I don't want to confuse you. This is the one I want. And the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for the joy thereof goeth, and selleth all that he hath, and he buyeth the field. Does that make any sense? If you found the treasure in the field, does it say that? Huh? I'm going to liken it as of Jesus in humanity and the field being His people of the earth. Now look at this. The which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for the joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and he buyeth the field. Now, where did he hide it? What's the implication there? Why do you say that? What made the field so valuable? See, there are things that you can come to understanding of in a sentence. And we can find out that he was looking for a treasure in a field of his people. He found the treasure. And then he went and he hid it in the field. My goodness. Now, do you realize that humanity, this is talking about humanity from the very get-go, when he created Adam. After Adam sinned, did he sell himself short? Did he sell himself to another purchaser? Come on. Come on, come on, come on. Isn't this cool? I'm going to tell you, I believe that that treasure was Jesus that came down and bought our redemption. I'm going to say that the economic structure there was his blood. And that blood, that we will be required to do nothing less than give everything we got. To empty out everything we are. To take all that we have. Here's another way of putting it. And buy in that field. Tells us two things. And I just keep getting more revelation on this, so you have to catch it. It just tells you how valuable you really are. It tells you, not only does it make a definition of who the field is and that there's a treasure there, but now it sets value. It sets the value of the economic structure of that economy. When you sell everything you are and you give up everything you ever want to be or could be or would be, come on, somebody should be screaming right now. And you buy the field. That's where it's at. That's where it's at. Because you see, the purchaser has got something intended for the field. He's not just focusing now on the treasure. Because he had the treasure, did he not? But he chose to bury it in you and me. By buying our redemption. Just the way we are. And he has determined, hallelujah, that this field becomes the treasure. Another way of looking at it. Another little way of looking at it is, it's a seed planted in the earth. It's his Holy Ghost planted in you. My. Now this is just good preaching right now. Right down the road, this is just good preaching. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You see, if you'll let yourself go and trust the Lord to help you, you'll find out that he's going to speak to you these kind of things, and it's going to make you excited because his intent is not to keep you buried. His intent is that you show up in the field of humanity looking just like him. And you know that used to scare me, but it doesn't scare me anymore. I find out every time I speak God's word that there's going to be a rebuttal, that there are people that have their own ideas of what I said. And in the midst of it, we'll try and make their own definition of sorts on what they might know, because they can't go beyond what they know. Hallelujah. Nobody can say amen. You know, that's where much of the people are in their lives. That's why they want to retire. They're tired. They're just tired of being the one that stands out. Come on, somebody. Come on. Because they'll tell you what. You can run, but you can't hide. God's going to come for a crop. That's what he said, isn't it? What do you think he's going to come for? We ain't going to go to the other part, or to the first part, the part that led into this, about the tares and the wheat. We're not going to do that. Because my whole focus this morning is to encourage you to know how valuable you are, and that you are the body of Christ, and that he sold everything, hallelujah, and he purchased you. Well, Danny, now, where do you get that? Well, okay, I'm going to help you. Al, come here. Hallelujah. Come up on the podium. Yep. I want to show him something. Sit right there. I love show and tell. Sit right there. Have I got your attention? That's the Son of God. That's God in essence in the heavens. And this is us here on the earth. And we're just living our life the way we want to live it, kind of being comfortable and uncomfortable or whatever, miserable or happy or whatever. Doing our own thing. Making our own decisions, never asking God. Never asking God about anything. We're living in a free country. Got all kinds of stuff that we can have. And if we'd like to work for it, but we'd much rather have you give it to us. So we didn't have to work for it, so we could throw it away 3 months later. Well, listen to me. Stand up. Come on down here. He stepped off from his throne. I'd hit him, but I'd knock him down. Put your arms out like that. Both of them. See how long you can hold them there. Every sin, every judgment, every ungodly thing that any human being has ever done from the time he created them. You want to talk about the crucifixion? You want to talk about a little bit of pity? We couldn't even begin to put it in words. And he willingly took it all. You don't think he paid a price? As a man. Doing good. Hallelujah. That's doing good. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You let him down now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are we seeing this? The price was so enormous. So that can only say one thing, how great you are. how great you are. That's my point this morning, to address to you how great you are and how wonderful it is and what the urgency is for you to become what He has purposed for you to become in the earth right now. Praise the Lord. Thank you. And so in looking at this subject matter, hallelujah. We can go back to the front page because I kind of like that. Hallelujah. Because in the midst of it, hallelujah. And we did this in Revelation and that, but in the midst of this, you're going to become. And we are, I should say, not going to, we are becoming the sons of God. Does not yet appear what we shall be. But as He comes, I'm just adding something. As He comes, we are seeing Him. We are knowing Him. We are speaking His words. We are repeating after Him. And those words have the authority to make the change that's necessary for us to overcome. I got thinking as I was looking at this, and I'm just taking it easy right now, and I'm not going to keep you long, but I was looking at it, and God once again reminded me the power of language, the power of a word. And how one word can change your day. How one word can direct your life and change it forever. How just one word can bring you to your destiny. Mighty God. That's another sermon. Hallelujah. Now, honey, I think we're going to go to page number 3. Go to page number 1 first. I want to show them something. And then we're going to go from there. I picked this up and we went through these and we went through these scriptures. But now we're going to go in and we're going to break it down a little bit. Hallelujah. We're going to go to Daniel 12, 1 through 4. And they that are being wise now. And so now I want to hopefully give you the through words and through demonstration, the very structure and vision of this treasure that He hid in the field. Why? I want to show you the color of it. I want to show you the wealth of it. I want to show you the economic structure in which it can bring forth for you everything that you need for eternal life forever. Even now, well, this corruptible is being taken over by an incorruptible intelligence. An incorruptible way of thinking. An unlimited amount of provision where you'll never have to use the word can't. But you'll learn to say, I won't. And in the midst of that, you'll have to be responsible for your action. And in that response will come deliverance. Glory to God. I did something while we're turning to go to Daniel 12, 1 through 4. Hallelujah. I had to replace a relay switch. First, I had to find out how I could find it in the furnace, because I had no clue. I had to go to the schematics. Does anybody know what a schematic is? And you would think that if the voltage was right and that every relay would run the same. If it was just a motor, one single motor, not 10, not 2, just one. So we got a lot of different ideas, didn't we, Karen? We went to get the part and it was the wrong one. How do we know? because we could look at it and see that it didn't look like the one we had in our hand. Well, we found out that when we went to the contractor, they said, no, that's not the right one, but he knew which one it was. So he sent us here and he sent us there, and nobody really knew what to do. Except we thought we had it down, because this one kid was really sharp, and he said, now, look, this one will work. I said, well, you're going to have to show me how the pattern goes on the relay in order for it to configure to the rest of the mechanics. So he did. So it should have worked, right? Just a relay. Same voltage. And I'm just telling you this for a reason. You'll get it. You'll get it spiritually because the Lord, I'm always clicked into the Spirit. You know, I didn't know all this stuff. I just kept learning it as I was putting the knowledge in me. He taught me a real principle out of this relay switch. So we had to finally found somebody that would give us the right relay, even though we gave them all the same information, proper, intelligent information to find it. And although the principles of relays are the same, the Lord was speaking this to me this morning while I'm working on this. The paths are different. And although God has called you for a particular thing, or a particular office, or a particular in a particular way, you have to find the right paths in which to connect to in order to run properly. That's why we do what we do. That's why I teach like I teach. I'm not doing this for some ego of how good I can speak. I want you to be able to function in the kingdom of God today, right now, and forever. And so we have a broader spectrum of understanding than maybe just in your path, even though you've been called to be a relay. And even though the voltages line up and everything else, yet there are paths in which they have to travel in order for them to meet their destiny. Once again, on the track, don't give up. Keep running. The goal is set before you, not by man. You say, well, how will I know when I get there? I'll tell you how you'll know, when you're sure. Did you hear me? Not when somebody tells you where you are, but when you finished it and you're sure, you've saw the place for yourself. You are sure. As the first mile. Then he's going to put you up for two. And whatever. Am I getting it? Is this good? It's wonderful. Because what good is it if you're not sure? What good of it if I just left her like that? We didn't try it out. Oh yeah, they said, okay, we got hooked up, I'm gone. And she'd have to say, okay, Dad, I'll see you later, because she was with me when we went through the paths in which we were to plug them in. This was Daniel. Hallelujah. In the 12th chapter, coming near the end of his revelation. Hallelujah. Daniel. And at the time, and at that time, shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for who? We say, you know, we got all this imaginary revelation, but actually, he has a place set by God. A position, not made up of make-believe. But the Bible tells us, what's he do? The great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. There's more to this than our intelligence. There's more to this than our single calling. There is more to this than a little doctrine or doctrines. I'm not taking away none of this stuff. But I'm showing you that God has set in order. It's already set. It's already finished. It's already completed. Hallelujah. And now we're trying to find our way in the path in which He has called us into. And in that path, hallelujah, you must come to a place of finish. You must finish. If you'll ever be successful. If you'll ever have peace. If you'll... Now listen to this. Now this is really, really good. Because this is in the book of Psalms. That's where you come into His rest. That's my desire for all of you. And I'll tell you, you don't have to be of age to do this. You just have to, by faith, believe it and then begin to operate or walk in it like a little resistance about this. Operating about this, you doing something. He done it all. Yes, He did. But I'm telling you what, He's waiting for us. What do you think He's waiting on? And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Even so that same time, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered. Everyone that shall be found written in the book. And we could go into in Revelation and do that, but we won't do that. I want to pull off that whole thought there. And I want to show you that there's some things that are happening here. We see that there is a supernatural influence out of the heavens that are speaking for us in our time of babyhood, in our time of undevelopment, in our time of carnality, in our time of not knowing Him like we ought to. There is a higher influence in the heavens and on the earth, glory to God, that is standing on our side. Not with condemnation, but with the material that we need. But you'll never get it unless you search for it. Come you think He hid it in the field again? Glory to God. Everybody should be on their feet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm becoming a son. Glory to God. I'm becoming a daughter of God. Glory to God. Instead of... You know what that is? That's childishness. Still want mom and daddy to do it. It's true. Is it not true? And we're talking about a time of trouble. And what's wrong with us Christians? Don't we know we're going to be here? Huh? You don't think you're going to feel the trouble? You don't think you're going to come under the squeeze? Oh, you're going to be different, right? Right? That's true. But how? You know how you're going to be different? You're going to have the answers. You're going to have the portion of knowledge to bring people into a understanding where now they walk into a new way of life. And don't you know that we have assistance out of the heavens? Don't you know that God isn't against you just because you didn't know? My goodness. I'm running a marathon right now. Hallelujah. I'm pumped up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. My mind is running in scriptures. Glory to God. Because I got two things. I got my heart ripping because of the time of trouble. Glory to God. And you know what I was praying this morning? We aren't ready, Lord. You tell me if this body of Christ, they still want the welfare system. They still want the miracles and the signs and the wonders, don't they? And do you know what Jesus called them in the time that he came? The Son of God. God on the earth. You know what he said to them? To his people, the Pharisees. He said, "You wicked and perverse generation. You seek for a sign. If you don't think I'm telling you the truth, just get your concordances out and you will see." And he said, "I'll not give you another sign but that of Jonah. You'll not get another sign." They didn't need another sign, because this Jonah was Jesus. This Jonah gave us all provision to go on. Hallelujah. Please. Are you with me? Are you happy? Do you know that you're valuable? Come on. And do you know that you're growing up? Because all of us are still babies in a lot of different ways. And we are until God pushes on us, and we need to know that. And then when we need to know it, we need to go to it and get to know it. See, I mean, if anybody's got problems here, physical, spiritual, mental, you got problems? Yeah. Emotional? Now, listen to this. The answer is simple. Go to the Word. Take your problem, type it into your Google. Now you can Google it. We don't have any excuses now. You can Google it in. It's going to give you definition, whether you like it or not. Because they've already defined it. Oh, God. Couldn't be that bad. Well, you can, and a lot of people, that's where they stay. No. Now, let's find a remedy. What are we going to do to eliminate this situation? Yeah, it's not bad. It's bad. I know it's bad. You might as well just shoot me now, but the truth is, I'm not going to stay here. Truth is, he didn't call me to stay here. So I get the Word and I start running through the Word and I start finding out that I can also go to the Word of God and make definition on words and then my intelligence begins to take a different route. And then I find out that God has something to say about my situation. That's His mercy and that's His grace. He is not condemning. He never condemns. He doesn't say He can't do it. He doesn't say He won't do it. But He says, all things are possible for me. With man, it is impossible. But all things are possible for me. For you. Pretty cool, huh? Glory to God. Such as it never since moved, that, and at that time, thy people shall be delivered. Everyone shall be found where? Written in the book. Now, when do you think that's going to happen? How do you think your name being written in the book is going to happen? You know how it's going to happen? When every time you're put into a press, and every time you're put into something that's uncomfortable, that's a part of who you are, that's not acceptable to you or to God, hallelujah, and then He pushes you to the point where you've got to have an answer. You've got to come out of where you are now, and you've got to become what He said. And so then that's another challenge. How do I do that? How do I do that? And we go to the Word. and we're beginning to see it. Now let's go to my third, number three slide. So now we're going to find what the work of the Lord is. 1 Corinthians 15. This 1 Corinthians 15 is a good book for you to write. It's a good book, I mean, to read, because as you're reading it, you'll be pretty much encouraged that in that twinkling of an eye, that it actually takes you, it will happen in a twinkling of an eye, but the process isn't in a twinkling of an eye. Process takes a lifetime. But what happens is all the different processes come together, and when he plugs you in, your pathway is going to be secure. And when I throw the power switch, he's the limit switch in you. You know what the limit switch does? You know why it's there? You know that the motor will run without it, but it'll never last very long. Do you know that? You know that the mercy and the grace of God is His mercy switch within, is His switch within us. You don't have His mercy and His grace. Even though you might be able to quote and speak and psychologically keep yourself somewhat in fit, it hasn't went through that relay. Burn up quick. Therefore, my brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Well, I thought we weren't supposed to do anything. That's what people want to believe. The old people are afraid if they take Medicare away, they won't get insurance. Truth of the matter is, they take Medicare away, they'll get insurance. And all the prices will come down. And all this fraud that's going on will cease. Hallelujah. Let's go to another one. Is that the last verse on 1 Corinthians? Huh? Okay. Hallelujah. Go back to the slide. If you're writing this down, the work of the Lord is that you might become, and you just need 1 Corinthians. I'm not going to go there. You need to read it, because when you read it, you'll see it's the one place that we see where the twinkling of an eye, it's another place where we see where the corruption and incorruption is dealt with. Hallelujah. And then when we get down to the end, we see that God is supplied all that. So 1 Corinthians 15, if you want to know the work of the Lord in this day and what you need to accomplish in this day pertaining to the kingdom of God, you need to go to 1 Corinthians 15 chapter. Hallelujah. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. So in the working of the Lord, there's something now that you have to do. What do you have to do? You have to cleanse your what? That's not in the Bible, is it? Okay, let's see. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of what? And what? I thought it was just flesh. Did you know your spirit can get corrupted? Did you know that? How does that happen? How can your spirit get corrupted? Well, I thought that there was no, you couldn't get corrupted in the spirit. Probably one of the most dangerous places for you to get corrupted in. And one of the hardest to deal with. Because once again, now we're dealing with an unseen structure in your human body. Well, the only other release is your intelligence. And so these, we won't go with it. Oh, Lord Jesus. Come on. Loosen up. Hallelujah. Because I'll tell you what, I know you know these things, but I think I'm telling you in a way in which you're going to be more responsible to them. Preferring holiness in the fear of God. And now, I'm going to just take one or two more, but I just want to encourage you. What do you think that means? What do you think holiness in the fear of God means? Somebody tell me real quick. What do you think it means? Can anybody tell me? Huh? What's holiness in the fear of God? Hallelujah. Did you hear, Al? Let me help you out here. When you're talking about holiness, you're talking about a state of being. And fear, here, we always want to kind of cow-how, but you don't have to be afraid if you're right. Do you? If you take the righteousness of God and you apply it, you have no fear, but you're acting reverently because now you're taking His word in place of everything else. And now you're putting yourself as a recipient to apply it. Is this good? And in doing so, it now qualifies you for being holy. Isn't that right, teacher? That's exactly right. So you don't have to think you're not holy when you're living in what God has instructed you and how your life is being led. And so go after more of it, not just enough. Let the whole being become holy. Whew. My Lord Jesus. Is that, and let me tell you, hallelujah. And so I'm not afraid of God, but I believe Him. Because I believe Him, I fear Him. I'm going to do what He says instead of what I say. And every time I do what I say and what He doesn't say, I don't even have to be told. I know when I'm wrong. I repent quickly. So, is that all you do? Yeah, I said, I repent and I pray to God and I say, God, You've got to be stronger than my mind and my head and my revelation and everything that's in me, because at this particular time and that particular thing, You're not. In me. You get this. Just hit me. And so guess what? I got knocked out of the race for a minute. But as soon as I repented, I got back on the track and I've got to get the answer. I've got to get the answer. I don't have it yet, but I'm seeking for the answer. I'm looking for the answer. I'm looking for the answer. I'm going to find the answer. I'm going to find the answer. And I get the answer. And I keep right on around. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Boom. I get knocked down again for a minute. Hallelujah. And so then, Lord help me. Oh God. That's what He wants. If He's the creator of all things, where do we think we're ever going to come to a place, glory to God, where we're more than He is? He's not bothered about our building up our muscles and learning how to run the race. He wants to add to us that supernatural ability and strength so that when the war comes, when the real tests come, you stay strong. You're a winner. And everything around you falls to the ground. But not you. My God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just one more. One more and that's it. Mighty God. So we do have the fear. We are being perfected in holiness in the fear of the Lord. That's how it's done. Hallelujah. If you give me the slide, honey, real quick. Hallelujah. In this last one, in 2 Peter 1, 4 through 9, add your faith. And I'm just going to read that and I'll probably come back to that again. Hallelujah, next week. But I'd like to just read it, just to give you something to chew on, something to look at, something to think about. Hallelujah. Because now he's really structuring this treasury as he's burying it in the earth. Glory to God. Because he's getting ready, glory to God, for it to come up. He's getting ready for it, you to be the light. Now that'll be a long ways down the line. Well, you have no need for the sun any longer. This is what humanity is all about in God. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of a divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Let's just keep rolling. Hallelujah. What did I do, honey? Where do I 1 through 9. And besides this, giving all diligence, add your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. We'll just deal with a little bit of that next week. Next one. And just keep rolling them. And to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Lord Jesus, help that thing. Been on a little bit too long. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in what? In knowledge of what? Of our Lord Jesus Christ with the anointing. You should look for that. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Hallelujah. We're going to stop right there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's stand.